T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
One of the best to do it. Usually you can catch him 3 p.m.s on Wednesday.
P.M.s?
Now, always with the p.m.s. I'm a big p.m.s guy. But now he joins us to go ahead and get into the latest in the NFL, including with the Cleveland Browns, of Sports Talk 790 in Houston. He's also of 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Sean Salisbury joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sean, please save the show.
We're going in the wrong direction. You guys sound like you're ready to roll, but
We're having fun, Sean. My partner's just—he can't spit it out.
Rails. Yeah, you're supposed to get off the rails once in a while, man. That's what you're supposed to do.
You know what? You're the pick me up. This is why we have you. You pick us up when we're down. So there's a lot of things that we can talk about from the Browns' recent bit here, but we've been asking everybody at 2-2. Do you think the Browns are contenders?
Of course they are. Now, we always have these, you know, these lists on hot take shows on television in a month in, pretenders or contenders. I'm a big guy in taking care of your business in September, but I'm also a big guy on seeing the way you're losing or the way you're winning. Now, you go back to last week, you think, well, we should beat Atlanta, missing guys on the front. They run for a lot of yards, which was uncharacteristic, giving up that many yards rushing. You know, and unfortunate, there's some, you know, not taking points with a field goal as far as, and then going for it. You know, Stefanski made some mistakes that I'm sure he'd like to have back. And when you're third and long and you make a decision, it gets picked. I mean, and a sack before that, it's difficult, but they're not that many plays away from being 4-0. Now, that's the glass half full. The other side is at some point in time, Cincinnati and Baltimore, who play each other this week, are going to get rolling. Your schedule gets more difficult, but there's very few teams I eliminate. Now, some with the eye test, guys, we can see it, right? We know. But, damn, I mean, you got 13 more of them to play. I think Jacoby's been solid. Miles Garrett back. You know you can run the football. There's things that got to get better. There's no question. But contenders for what? Contenders, if we're saying now, are they in the Philadelphia Eagles or the Kansas City Chiefs League? That answer's no. But if you're asking contenders in a division, and we know how that goes. There was a time last year in the Cincinnati Bengals, quarterbacks getting knocked around. They were like in last place and then ended up in first place in the struggle. They go 10-7, get into the playoffs, and next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire and they're playing in a Super Bowl. So we're a long way from that. But if I told you a backup quarterback and you had some changes on your roster and you came out of September 2-2, even though the schedule said possible 4-0, you're alive and well. Well meaning you're coming off a loss and can get well against a really good team this weekend in the Chargers. So you win this one, you're right back saying, oh, yeah, we are a good football team. It only takes one to win. Look how they're talking about the 49ers, guys. I go in San Francisco, as you mentioned, I go in San Francisco every week. Last week, Kyle Shanahan, what's he doing? Why isn't he calling plays right? Jimmy, what in the hell's going on? Trey Lance is hurt. We can't generate offense. Last night on the show, they think they're the best team in the West. Fans do too. See, just like that, because they dominated the Rams. So it can happen, and this is a good time to get right because this team's no slouch. They're getting ready to play.
Yeah, let's talk about this team, Sean, and how talented they are and what you think as a former quarterback looking at Justin Herbert and how much of a challenge he presents.
Dust, I'm telling you, man, when he came out of Oregon, and I know you saw him a bunch too. I mean, maybe people in the Pac-12 didn't see him enough, but I can remember talking to a few people that are considered experts in the business, and I saw him a lot because I'm a Pac-12 guy, right? And I think the thing that stuck out to me when he left school was accurate, smart, but he missed easy throws. Every time, like a curl route, he'd miss, you're like, what's missing? And you saw him run for three touchdowns at 6'6", 235 or 240 in the Rose Bowl. You're thinking, man, the guy can play. But, and I remember one analyst, I'll leave his name out because I think he's great and he knows quarterbacks, but he had said on my show, he goes, you know what, we went through the draft, pre-draft, and he goes, I just almost feel like he needs a couple of years and needs to stay in California in a comfort zone for him. That was the, and he was right. I kind of agreed with him. Well, Tyrod Taylor, the rest is history. He's a better pro than he was in college, and you look at his numbers in college and say, damn. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. You're getting a guy who can throw it from the locker room to the parking lot and hit a car about 100 yards away, and I'm being a little bit hyperbolic, obviously, who can run like a guy that's half his size, who is a brilliant decision maker and processes information. And we usually think a big, strong-arm throwers is somewhat inaccurate at times. He doesn't miss many throws. If the window's a yard or more open, he's going to hit it. And he is a phenomenal. He's at a time when Allen and Mahomes and these guys, we got so many good ones at the top, that he has risen so fast. His first couple seasons, and he doesn't even know how to play yet. And I mean that affectionately. Listen, he is as right now, when you're getting through five, you say, I want for the next 5 to 10 years. If you've gotten a number four and his name hasn't been mentioned, then I'm not watching the same game somebody else is. So he is a challenge. They've got receivers, even without Keenan Allen. They can run it, even though they need to run it more effectively. And he's a brilliant decision maker, only 3 years into his career. They've got a great future, and they are a challenge. I had them winning the AFC West this year, and I'm still going to stick with that, even though Kansas City's playing pretty good football.
Sean, with what you're saying about Justin Herbert, I think a lot of people have come around to your line of thinking on him. I'll ask you, how many quarterbacks in the NFL would you definitively take over him if we were having a league-wide redraft of quarterbacks?
Okay, well, what's the time frame? How long do I get? I mean, are we talking about like this year, or give me the time frame? 5 years, 3 years, 7 years? Because I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers over a lot of them, but in 5 years I'm not. For the next 3 years. So what, 5 years, 7 years?
Yeah, let's go 5 years.
Okay, 5 years. Mahomes still has to be, and Allen are still at the top. I would probably take them, but I'd have to think about, I'd be thinking about it because I think about mobility for a guy his size, brilliant decision maker. What if he was with a different type of play caller? If he had Andy, and if you flip-flop him and Mahomes, what would happen? You know, I go through all these scenarios. Or Josh Allen, if he was in Buffalo and Josh was in L.A. with the Chargers. I think Lamar has got a special skill set. Joe Burrow, over the next 5 years where they are now, considering, there's no way he gets out of the out of the top five, and there's probably no way, considering what I parlay in beyond 5 years, he probably doesn't get out of my top three from what I've seen on the early returns in his career.
So
Mahomes and Allen right now, but if I was the third pick and you said you have to take Herbert, I would think I had every bit as chance as you for him to be a most valuable player and be just as good as your guys are.
All right, so I know you're a huge fan of Deshaun Watson. So if it came down to Watson or Herbert, who are you taking over the next 5 years?
Today I'm taking Herbert because I haven't seen Watson. I know how good he is. I watch him every day, and I've told you guys that a million times. Dust, I even told you that the last few years, that this is a special talent. Today, now when Deshaun gets back on, this is almost the asterisk by, let's see, because it's been a minute. It will have been almost 2 years since we throw a ball. He's going to be fine. It's not like it's 6 years out, and it's not because he was injured. So today it's Herbert. But if you're asking me, Sean, give me 5-7 names over the next 5 years on the field, it would be very hard-pressed for me not to put Watson in there as well. I think he's unique and special. But today it's got to be Herbert for obvious reasons. The numbers are there. They win. He's doing everything. Plus, he's present. He's on the field, and I've seen him the last couple of years. We'll have to revisit this at the end of this year and next year when Watson's playing full-time.
Sean, when you look at the Browns and you think about the record, we've probably talked about this before, but now they're 2-2 with seven more games, right, until Deshaun comes back. What do you think they have to be? I mean, do they have to be like 5-6? Could they 6-5? What's the number?
To be alive
when Deshaun comes back.
Yeah, fight chance the last 5 weeks of the season, games of the season, six games. Let's see if they are now. A lot of this, and I know what you're saying, but a lot of it also we have to consider how's Baltimore, Cincinnati playing? How's Do the Broncos start to win more and play better offense? The Chargers and Chiefs. I start to look around the AFC and say, oh, well, is Miami still doing what they've been doing, playing good football? But just for them alone to, regardless of somebody else, I would think you have to be above 500. Because I believe teams like Baltimore are going to start to play better. I know what I'm getting in Buffalo. I know what I'm getting in Kansas City. I think I'm pretty sure what I'm getting in with the LA Chargers. So even though with seven teams, I do believe that they're going to have to have a fighting chance. Because if you're at 6-5 and you get Watson and you got to, now we got to let him get into the competitive mode. So let's say you win four of the last five, that gets you to 10. I think it's going to take 10 to get in the playoffs this year. In the AFC, I do. So yeah. I would like to think maybe a game over 500, and you're within striking. If you're over 500, you are with that guy coming back and his playmaking skills, and he'll be hungry. I would, and then that running game you got, I would imagine that's put you in a real good position. If you're 4-7, that's a lot of things to expect, even from a great player like Watson to come back and get you on a roll in a pretty tough AFC.
Sean, we've had, thinking back to the Browns over the last week, we had a couple moments where we found ourselves questioning Kevin Stefanski's ideology on play calling. And there was a few goal line things early in downs, but the one that really cheesed some people off here was that on 4th-and-3 on the first drive of that Falcons game, he elected to pass with Jacoby Brissett. And so I'll ask you, in that moment, first drive of the game, 4th-and-3, do you let Jacoby Brissett try to put 7 on the board, or do you take the points? What's the right play in that situation to Sean Salisbury?
I would have kicked the field goal at 4th-and-3, and it wouldn't have mattered who the quarterback was. And that early in a football game, now all of a sudden you get a feel of momentum, or if in your mind you're thinking, if you're Stefanski, that early in a game, we're not going to be able to stop. They're going to go rush for 200 yards. Well, it was awfully early to think that, but if you have some feel and say it's going to take points to win, it ended up taking, what was the final score, 23-20, I think. It was, and they kicked some field goals on the other end. So I personally, at 4th-and-3 early, I want points. And I'm a guy, and Dustin, you know this from my philosophy, when in doubt, I want to put my foot on your throat. But I also know when you're playing against a team that you're supposed to beat, and maybe you're still waiting for your best football to be played, you got to take those points, in my opinion. Now, 4th-and-1 with Nick Chubb in the backfield, hell, forget running it. If I can't move the pile at 4th-and-1 or a couple downs inside there and move the pile, let one of the best backs in the league roll through there, back visiting in his home where he played his high school ball, then I need to check myself. So I always want to put the ball in my best player's hands and say we're going to move the pile. So 4th-and-1 different because a big fellow like Brissett's also got quarterback sneak at his disposal. 4th-and-3 in a game like that, I would take the points early. Now talk to me in the second half and let me see how the flow's going. I think people at times get greedy because you're playing into the momentum or you're questioning what's going to go on and you're just feeling it. Sometimes analytics don't work and sometimes they do. To me, you just got to trust the points and take them early. And I'm not a guy that likes to settle for field goals. In that situation, even beforehand, knowing it because I'm watching game, you got to kick. You got to kick that point. And I think Kevin knows that.
Sean, you brought it as you always do, buddy. We appreciate you. Talk to you next Wednesday.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for letting me be a part of it. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Thank Good you, man there. I think it's interesting to hear. We've had Sean talk about whether the Browns are contenders after starting the season 2-2. We asked Daniel Jeremiah. I think I heard the morning show, was it, that asked Zach Jackson today. And I think everybody has been mostly right. But I want to give special credit to Zach Jackson, who said it's still so early. It's so tough to be conclusive 4 games into the season, and that's really been my rebuttal to you. I can't sell anybody optimism. I can only tell you, like, for me, it's not negative or positive. It's just way too early to say the Browns are heading in the wrong direction. You could probably say that about the right direction too, though.
Yeah, I think that if this team were 4-0, I'd be feeling completely different about the team. Because they should be 4-0 right now, and they're not. So they cost themselves potentially an opportunity at the playoffs, considering how much more difficult the schedule gets these last 7 games before Deshaun comes back. But look, they're a good team. I'm not taking anything away from them. I think that they're going to be in every game. which says a lot, you know, looking back on past Browns teams that were, you know, lucky to, you know, win three games, right? So it's a completely different feel, and there are expectations for this team. So that's why, I mean, listen, we're just holding the team to a higher standard, a standard that they should win every game.
So,
you know?
So I'm right where you are in terms of this is not the time to lower the bar for the Cleveland Browns. So it's everything you said was fair. But like, if they win this weekend, how does that change where you are with this Browns team? Because you're more down on this game specifically than I am.
Right. I think this game, to me, is one of the tougher games. Probably the toughest game the Browns have played to start the season. And they're at home. They're coming off a loss. Like, there's a lot of things going against the Browns in this situation. Where, you know, they've got the much better quarterback. I think a lot of things favor the Chargers in this game. And I would be pleasantly surprised if the Browns showed up, took care of business, defensively corrected the errors in the back end, and started to play really good football and find a way to beat this team with a you know, arguably a top six maybe quarterback in the AFC.
I think the next four games are more important to telling us who the Browns really are than the last four. Meaning, if at the end of these next four games, if we're still saying, you know, the Browns should be 4-0 again and they're 2-2, that'll be telling. But if we go in this stretch and say, you know, they probably should be 2-2, but they lucked out and they're 3-1, or even if they say, you know, let's say they're 3-1 or 4-0, and we say, well, that's what they should be, I think that'll be the real thing. It is, you know, what is their expected record versus what they actually accomplish? I think that's, to me, what the next four games are. It's not as if, you know, you've got 2-2 Chargers, 1-3 Patriots, 2-2 Ravens, 2-2 Bengals. Those teams are also still figuring out who they are. So all those things are fair to say. But if we get through these next four games, in this game, if this is another game where even though we go into the game saying, I don't know, it's a should win, but it's a really nice if you do get the win. But if we're talking at the end of this game, man, the Browns should have won it and they lost it. Or if we're talking about the Browns rolled in the first half and then it was down to the wire in the second half, even though they still get the win, that's the kind of thing that I think really will influence how we think of this game. A win is a win. When you're playing a team with Justin Herbert, a win is a win. But right. I do think in this four-game stretch, it really is like how we feel about how not just the wins and losses, but how they come to that record for the next four games. I think that's really interesting.
What do you think the record is going to be after October?
I'll go two. So let's see. One, carry the two.
That'd be eight games.
I'll go. Math is hard. I didn't go to Bowling Green to play math. 4-4. I think they're going to go 2-2 in the next two games or the next four games.
You think they're winning this game and they're going to beat the Patriots?
No, I don't know that they're going to win this game, but I think they'll beat the Patriots. And by the way, Brian Hoyer's on the IR, which means
he's not going to play in that game.
You're either going to get Bailey Zappe or a banged up Mac Jones. So I think you at least win the Patriots game, and between the Chargers, Ravens, and Bengals, I think any one of those games can be wins. I don't feel negatively about any one of those games right now.
Yeah, I think that all four of these games are winnable, but they also could lose every single one. You know, I mean, even the Patriots game, it's Bill Belichick, dude. I mean, Bailey Zappe comes in the game against the Packers, and dude has never played a snap in the league, I don't think, before this game. And he, like, looked all right.
I think it's too early to be this low.
Okay.
I think it's too early to be this low. And by the way, do not mistake that for me saying you're wrong. Do not mistake that for me saying that there aren't real concerns. I actually think of everything. I think all the things we've seen on the field are completely fixable. Whether that's by Joe Woods, whether that's by players, whether that's by Kevin Stefanski, you know, altering things over the next... I think everything on the field is fixable. The thing that scares me is that we are talking about chemistry issues and does this team want to win? Does this team like each other? Like, that scares me more than anything on the field so far, even more than the injuries. But I just feel like, well, you're 2-2, you know, seven other teams in the AFC are 2-2, And more importantly, what is that? Three of the four teams you play in the next 4 weeks are 2-2, and the fourth team is 1-3. Is it an easy stretch? No. Is it more difficult than the stretch that you have played? Absolutely. But there's still plenty of time for the Browns to play up to their talent level, and I don't think we've seen that consistently in any one of these games. Even the Steelers game where they finished off the game very strong. Let's go with Avi. Welcome to the show, bud. What you got for us? Hello, Avi.
Hello. Hello. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, buddy. Thanks. Welcome to the show. I don't know why I said thanks, but welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Well, listen, I just want to give you guys my take. Listen, as long as Stefanski is the coach of the Cleveland Browns, it's going to be the same old Browns over and over again. Maybe a 500, a game or two over a 500 team.
Are you okay, Avi? This feels awfully dark for October sports talk.
Well, here's the thing, and I'll tell you why I'm saying this, okay? Based on what went on last year, he lost the locker room last year, obviously, by all the nonsense that was going on in the locker room. It's clearly carried over into this year by various different comments by Garrett, by Denzel Ward. He definitely doesn't have the locker room. So basically, you're looking at a locker room that is, you know, the culture sucks pretty much.
I don't know. I'm not saying the culture is where I want it to be, but the culture sucked under Hugh Jackson. The culture sucked under Eric Mangini. The culture, like, I get it. I understand. This is not where we want to be. But the same old Browns line, Avi, I just cannot disagree more. I'm not telling you we can't get there real quick if Kevin Stefanski lost the locker room or if these guys started counting their money instead of, you know, going out and playing on Sunday. But, like, I think if I think it's premature to be down about the Browns, I think it's incredibly premature to say these are the same old Browns. I cannot get into that pit with anyone and just give up like that.
I'm not giving up. You know, I'm a little bit down on the team right now, but I'm just trying to keep it real. Like, I don't see a really good team playing good football right now.
Oh no, I was just talking about Avi and how
he
was
clearly being super negative. I get that.
I still have my questions about Kevin Stefanski, right? Like, if we locked in, I don't think there's one manager or coach right now that I can lock in will be here in 3 years. Tito obviously can retire. JB Bickerstaff, the expectations change now. This is going to be a huge hump for him. And Kevin Stefanski is right in that same place. The expectations have changed. 8-9 is no longer good enough. I love that. But saying at 2-2, all hope is lost in the same old Browns, hard pass. Hard no from Nick
hard
Wilson.
No?
Hard
okay.
No.
Hard no.
Matt, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got?
Nick, first of all, welcome back. I missed you very much.
Why, thank you, Matt. It's good to be back, buddy.
Of course. So basically, I'm just saying, what is Baker Mayfield ranked right now in, like, every statistical category as a quarterback in the league?
It's not great, Bob.
It's not great.
Right. So, right. I mean, he looked pretty good with Kevin Stefanski calling his plays. Now he looks awful. Maybe this is just the real Baker. Maybe Kevin got him looking good, just like Jacoby. We didn't expect him to be anything close to what he has been so far. I mean, he showed his true colors a couple times, but you get what I'm saying? I think everyone's overreacting. Personally, didn't expect to be great. Hopefully when Deshaun gets back, you know, I'm proved right, and Kevin looks great, and Deshaun looks great, and we're all happy.
Oh, yeah, I think I'll say this. A franchise quarterback is a miracle salve for a good coach, a great coach, and an awful coach. Thanks for the call, buddy. And thanks for the kind words as well. I think sometimes the things that frustrate us about Kevin's play calling, and I'll go even to last year, it's because his impulse as a play caller is to be aggressive, is to push the ball down the field, is to pass more than he runs. And he's just never had that quarterback that he can trust to do that. That's going to happen when Deshaun comes back. Even if Deshaun is a little rusty, Deshaun can just do things that most cats in the NFL can't do. Now, to the Baker thing, listen, I think it's too early to render a verdict on the Browns. I think the same thing of Baker. All right, I'm not trying to relitigate this or be a Baker bro, but, you know, it is four games into the season. He didn't get there to July 6th. And it's not as if he's walking into a situation where, like, he can just ride a wave of winning. He's trying to elevate what has been a bad franchise with a bad head coach in Matt Rhule. That's not it. That's not to say that anybody's wrong on Baker. I could end up being wrong on him. I also think over the next four games he could look better, and all of a sudden maybe Matt Rhule isn't coaching Nebraska next year, Dustin.
I think Lance Leipold has a better chance coaching Nebraska than Matt Rhule. How
yeah,
about that?
That's actually really interesting. What happens to Matt Rhule if he gets canned? Like, if Matt Rhule got canned this week,
he may. I mean, he'll be a head coach somewhere. I'm guessing in college, but he's not going back to like a level of Baylor. I don't think.
I mean, is it Arizona State? Is Arizona State a better job than Baylor? Is it bad that
that's a good question. I don't know.
What's the best job right now? Probably Wisconsin, but Rhule's not going to Wisconsin. That's not happening.
No.
So, like, yeah. That's sidebar.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.